WTLA North Syracuse, WSGO Oswego, W249BC Mattydale, W261AC Oswego, WTKWHD2 Bridgeport, ESPN Radio. Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
Watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Wow, is that silence in a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
Stop
up.
It. Pop pass up the middle.
Got it.
Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15-10. Hit in for an orange touchdown.
The Bills make me want to shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In go to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes a catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing into this. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
You know, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, Utica, Rome, heard on 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you are doing. The ESPN app, great day to be out there doing that, kids. If you're here in Central New York or wherever you are, see, that's the beauty of listening. On said application, you could be anywhere. You could be in Burundi. You could be in Walla Walla, Washington. You could be in Syracuse, New York. You could be anywhere. Anywhere! On your smartphone, find the ESPN app. Find the... That was such an old guy thing to say. On your smartphone, right? I feel like I'm in one of those commercials, you know, where you've become your parents. I have a smartphone here. I can look it up on my application, but you should do that. You should look it up and... find the audio section there on the ESPN app, and you can take us with you wherever you go. It's a beautiful thing, friends. These are all great ways to listen to the program. If you're on the radio, cruising the highways and byways, great. If you're on the app, terrific. Oh, but there's a better way, friends. Full of so many different ways to watch the show, listen to the show, participate in the show. Did you say watch the show? Oh, yeah. We got a fancy camera in here and everything. To watch on QSportsTalk.com. If you're watching, I was amused by this. There is like an old name tag here. It's like I showed up at a Senate committee. I was at the hearings today on the Hill. And, you know, those little tags they put in front of people, just in case you forgot who the host of the show is. It's a visual medium now. We have, like, graphics we can put on the screen that says as much. But when you have a beautiful name tag here, as somebody made a few years ago, might as well use that and take advantage of it. So there it is. You can watch the show. You can participate in the live show, the live chat throughout the show, pardon me. And the beautiful thing about that is throughout the show. Now, if you want to call 437-7644, give us your takes. I'm sure our friend Scooter will be calling later with the plays from the weekend. And anybody else that wants to chime in and do that, one and done. I'm good. It's disposable. It's like eating a donut. You eat the donut, you're done, right? If you are more of the sit down, have a nice long meal, five courses, there's an appetizer, there's an in-between, there's a salad, there's a main course, there's a dessert, maybe there's an after-dessert drink, like the whole experience throughout the show, and you want to participate throughout. That's what the chat's for, because you can keep the conversation going, have your own conversations in there, and just, it's a whole thing, friends. It's a whole darn thing. So get in there at QSportsTalk.com, and as an added bonus, if you act now, during radio breaks, we keep the mics on. And the interns come in, the producers come in. I'm going to show you something that, speaking of producers, Josh is not here today. But wait till you see what Josh was up to this weekend. I think this is the first time I've ever been jealous of anything that Josh was up to over the weekend. So we'll show you that on QSportsTalk.com. Have some fun there. So let's make it happen, kids. We have one guest joining us today, and that's right here in this hour. And congratulations to the Baldwinsville Bees And we are talking plural Baldwinsville B squads because both the boys and girls lacrosse teams won state championships this weekend. So we are going to discuss that. Chris, also one of the reasons that I really kind of fell into looking more into officials, officiating, umpires, referees, and that whole world and kind of where we're at there. And it's something that he put on social media a while ago, so I wanted to follow up with Chris on that. Not that we've solved that problem, nor will we essentially solve that problem, but it can be improved. And I kind of wonder what life is like now since then. He kind of really put it out there, not that it hasn't been in other ways, but I think Chris did it in a unique way that really sparked something, including with me. And I know Chris, I went to high school with Chris, full disclosure, he's a friend of mine, so we'll have some fun, have a conversation about all those things, and just relish in two championships for Baldwinsville. That's congratulations to all the high school teams that went out there and participated this weekend. Unfortunately, our friends at West Hill came up just one win short. We talked to State Senator John Manion on Friday about that, amongst other things. West Hill did not take home the title, but certainly a lot of high school teams out there doing great things this weekend. We couldn't list them all. We'd be here through the end of the show. But shout out to all of them, and congratulations to all those athletes and making it this far and all their accomplishments. So we'll hone in on Beeville and talk to Chris Campolita about that right here in this hour. Rory McIlroy, boy, did he make the team PGA Tour people happy this weekend. The PGA Tour couldn't have scripted this any better to kind of counter what's coming out of the LIV Tour at this point. It all converges this week. We already have an awkward press conference from Phil Mickelson today, because these players, while banned from PGA Tour play, can play in the majors, because the majors and the PGA Tour, while they're partners, the PGA Tour doesn't run the majors. So be more awkward press conferences to come as the week goes along. So we will discuss that. Get into some Mets and Yankees talk here today. A recent signee for the Yankees on an absolute heater. NBA Finals tonight we'll get into. What Phil Steele is saying about your Syracuse football orange, if you haven't picked up your copy of Phil Steele's college football preview yet. I thought there was some obvious things in there, but a couple surprises as well. And I actually do want to start with a little Syracuse football as well, because I was asked a question this morning that I wanted to ask you and share with you and discuss with you. So I was thrilled to once again be asked to come on with the great Mark Packer in West Durham on the ACC Network on Packer and Durham. It's a great show. I watch often, catch the clips often, love those guys, and they've both been on the show. Certainly we'll continue to talk to those guys when we get closer to college football season, and the great dudes, and they do a great show. And I'm always thrilled when they ask me to come on, especially when it's a reasonable hour like 9:15 and I've already had four cups of coffee. Good times there, including, sorry, I unleashed my bad movie trailer voice this morning on ACC Network.
Syracuse football. So get me excited about 22. What pops off the screen for you when I say Syracuse football 22?
All right, well, how about I'll do this in my movie trailer voice, guy. You ready for this? Okay, here we go. In a world where Sean Tucker will run for 2,000 yards, will Syracuse football be able to overcome the toughest schedule they've ever had? Stay tuned. September 3rd, the Orange, the Cardinals, kick off the season. One more win is what Dino Babers needs. Just one more win.
All right, so sorry about that. Like I said, I'd had about four cups of coffee by then. So, you know, he asked. I gave him the best answer I could in that sense. But later on in the show, and I believe the great West Durham asked this question there, and Mark Packer with a great question there. But Wes asked me at one point, you know, what is the motivation of the Syracuse football fan this year? Because, look, we all know what's on the line. I know it's June 13th, and we're just kind of getting into summer mode right now. Like, the spring is always the shortest season in Syracuse. Fall is always, to me, winter is always the longest. Fall is the best season. Summer, I'm not a big fan of summer generally, honestly, but you got to enjoy those summer days. You got to cherish those summer days. Summer lasts long enough. As much as we feel like it goes by quickly, spring is always the season that goes by the quickest, because we essentially don't have a spring. It goes from like 40 to 80, and there's no spring in between. Those typical, even like today is like a typical spring day, if you will, but they're few and far between, right? So it feel the my point being, it feels like summer. The kids are starting to get out of school, right, those last few days, and the college football preview magazines are hitting the shelves, as we brought up. We'll discuss what Phil Steele said about Syracuse later in the show, and it just feels like, where did spring go? There's no such thing. But we're still 3 months away. We're still 75 days away from the start of college football, so there is some time to really dig into it, preview it, and kind of think about what's to come. So not that I want to have all of our best SU football discussions here in the middle of June. You know, we want to save that good stuff for August when we're getting closer to the season. But when you're asked a good question, you're asked a good question. And I wanted to reiterate that question to you. So Wes asked me today, you know, what's the motivation of the Syracuse football fan? And I think I gave the answer that most of you would say. Now, some of you have higher expectations, and that's fair, and that's why we have these discussions on the radio, and you want to see Syracuse improve. You feel like five losing seasons in 6 years is not acceptable. You may like Dino Babers as head coach.
Thanks, Brent.
You're welcome, coach. You may feel how you feel about what Syracuse did not, how can I put this, the momentum they did not continue after 2018. No matter how you feel, there's always a compromise. There is always a reasonable compromise. There is always something that, while a certain portion of the fan base may not be happy about it, may grumble about it, they'll at the very least say, okay, compromise. And I think we all know what that is this year, right? And I did it in my bad movie trailer voice. Now, I'm going to feel like it's Groundhog Day a little bit. I'm going to feel like I said this last year, because we did say this last year. And that is a bowl game. That is one more win. I think most people would give the okay to say, all right, keep it going. I think most reasonable people would say, look, if you win six games and you at least get to a bowl game, that's enough for me to say, okay, go forward. That's enough for me to say, the investment in the coaches, bringing in Robert and I, bringing in Jason Beck, bringing in Bob Ligashevsky, trying to kind of reformat what Syracuse football is, given what they're working with. They brought in, and you know, I can go over a number of players here, but encouraging signs when you're getting a quarterback like Carlos Del Rio Wilson to transfer in from Florida, Dan Villari from Michigan. Now, they didn't work at those other schools, and that needs to be kept in mind, but they want to be at Syracuse. That's also something that's got to be considered a win, right? They're not players that succeeded at those schools but maybe can succeed here, have the talent to be recruited by and be on the campuses of those schools, just couldn't quite be the starter there. No shame in that. Those are two high-level programs that have the best of the best coming in. Syracuse always kind of has to take the next of the best, and they're motivated players, and it makes the quarterback room better. The backup quarterback is always essential at Syracuse, and I know I'm focusing on the quarterback position here for a minute, but point being, like, you're landing those type of players, and you'll land more if you can offer the opportunity of playing time, plugging holes, taking advantage of the transfer portal the right way. Recruiting is always important, but the landscape is changing here. Syracuse has a star in Sean Tucker. Now, they have a star that they're going to lean very heavily on and need to balance out and make life easier for him. But Sean Tucker, and he's going to do Sean Tucker things, is my bad movie trailer impression said on Packer and Durham this morning. The two biggest question marks on this football team, I think most reasonable minds can agree, and I don't want to say weaknesses because I don't think that's fair. I think it's fair at this point in preview mode to say questions. The two positions I think we all have to see really kind of work itself out are wide receiver and defensive line. There's a lot of bodies on the wide receiver position. I just don't know who the number one receiver is. I don't know how that plays out. There's some talent there. There's some transfers that are intriguing, but who's the one that takes command? Because the second leading receiver on this team a year ago was Sean Tucker. Because whether it's Schrader or someone else works out at the quarterback position, Schrader's going to be given every opportunity in this new offense to take a step forward and evolve. He averaged 236 yards passing last year. The top six quarterbacks in the ACC averaged 254 yards a game. His best performance was 236 yards last year against Virginia Tech, right? D. defensive line, you're losing a Josh Black, you're losing a McKinley Will, you're bringing back some talent, but in that 3-3-5, how you rush the passer is always intriguing because you have a strong linebacking core. You have Mikal Jones, who led the ACC in solo tackles last year with 60. You have Stephon Thompson, you have Marlo Wax. That is as solid a linebacking core as it gets in the ACC. You have a cornerback duo in Deuce Chestnut and Garrett Williams that I'll put up against anybody in the ACC. And my name tag just fell down, just in case you forget my name here. This is why you watch on QSportsTalk.com. We got props falling down. We got dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria in here. Anyway, we know what the strengths and weaknesses of this team are. But I'm kind of burying the lead here because the one thing that makes this a different conversation than last year, because some of the points I've made, you've probably said, well, didn't you say this last year? Here's the difference. The schedule is much tougher. Much tougher. The quarterbacks up and down that schedule are as good as it gets. Phil Steele, as we'll discuss later, rated Syracuse's schedule, no matter who it is, Phil Steele, Athlon, ESPN, no matter what preview you read, Syracuse's schedule is going to be rated somewhere, I'd say, in the top 20 in the country in terms of toughness. A lot of home games early that they have to stack up here, but it sounds simple, right? But the compromise that everybody comes to, the answer I had to that question, and I feel like the answer that most people would have to that question if asked directly on the ACC Network or otherwise. Did I tell you guys I was on the ACC Network today? Hey, we like to promote ourselves once in a while. But no, at the bar stool this summer when you're just hanging out, talking football at barbecues and with friends, it's like, well, I'd like this program to be better. I'd like them to, you know, be in the conversation for 8, 9, 10 wins, not be predicted every year to finish bottom of the ACC Atlantic, and all those frustrations that you've expressed, and I certainly understand that you have. But what you'll come away from, what you'll walk away from, well, how you'll end that conversation is just make it to a darn bowl game. Whether or not that's the expectation for John Wildhack, for the Board of Trustees, for all involved, that'll play itself out. I would imagine it would be, because you can't tolerate 6 losing seasons in 7 years. You just can't. If you want to play big boy football and be in a big boy league and lay out all the expectations of what Syracuse football should be. It's almost the, how can I put this? The nightmare is a strong word, but the situation you don't want to be in if you're Wildhack is another 5 and 7 year. Like, you want a clear, defined path to go forward. Either, not that anybody wants to see this, but if they're 3-9, even with that schedule, it's like, well, I have no choice. If they're 4-8, even with that schedule, well, look, I don't have a choice here. If they're 5-7, and it's like last year, maybe there's a couple games where they came, oh, so close to getting over that hump. Now you're in the territory where, hey, did you see our schedule this year? And it's just, no, you just can't keep doing that, right? Sorry, I got a tough schedule. That's the way it panned out this year, right? So you either want that or you want 7 or 8 wins. Or, again, the compromise, the motivation, the one thing everybody can agree on, no matter what your level of fandom is, just make it to a darn bowl game. Just win 6 games. One more win. Sounds simple, but the process is a lot more complicated, and the road is a lot tougher this year for this team to do that. So thanks to Wes and Mark for having me on again. I thought that was a great question. We all know what Syracuse fans want. We all know what the expectation are. There's certain things that just kind of go around in circles in these conversations, but I like the way Wes asked me that question and how Mark asked me that initial question. What is the motivation for this fan base? It's almost like you're an actor. Okay, here's your motivation. You're a football fan. You're frustrated. Haven't been to a bowl game in a while. Only one winning season under this current head coach. Give me that. Ready? Action. What's your motivation? On ESPN, Syracuse, and Q Sports Talk. So, you know, if those things existed, maybe subscribing on iTunes to ESPN Syracuse. Make sure you're subscribing and following Q Sports Talk on Twitter, following ESPN Syracuse on Twitter. Then perhaps you'd get those things on demand on your time when you want, as opposed to having to be here during a live radio show. If only those things existed, right? So while we ponder how they're going to get a stuck Amazon truck from under the bridge, you got to deflate the tires on that baby, right? Like, that's how else you're going to get that out there. Your Prime order may be held up, kids, because there is currently a truck stuck. And that rhymes under the Onondaga Lake Parkway Railway Bridge again. The winner and still champion. I won't do it again. We did it earlier in the hour. As fun as that is to do. You know who may be the winner and once again champions? Pick between the Mets and the Yankees right now. We'll get to that here coming up. But I wanted to hit on this briefly because it's. Listen. I want to be. Listen. I want to be fair about this. I don't want to be snarky guy about this, but I'll frame it this way. Here's what I don't want to hear. And I don't think we'll see a lot of this. I think most Syracuse fans are reasonable about this. They understand what happened, and they're not going to be that guy. But if you haven't been following the story, please read up on it and get the background before you just lob off another, why couldn't Syracuse get that guy take? Because they did have this guy. They had this guy, but never really committed to him, and everybody was kind of relieved when he went his separate ways kind of thing. But now they could cross paths with him again, and I say could. I say maybe. I say might, because he tends to change his mind a lot. So if you haven't heard, as Mike Waters writes here on Syracuse.com, and a good lead here, because Mike's a good writer who comes up with these things, perhaps the third time's the charm for high school basketball standout D'Or Johnson. On Monday, Johnson, a 6'3 guard rated among the top 50 players in the 2022 recruiting class, announced on Twitter that he had committed to Pittsburgh. It's the third school that Johnson has officially committed to. He previously committed to Syracuse, then signed with Oregon, which would have reunited him with another former Orangeman, of course, in Quincy Guerrier. He's rated number 35 in the 22 class by ESPN. 2 years ago, he was among the top five players in the class. Now, you'll recall, Johnson committed to Syracuse in February of 2020, shortly after visiting the school and attending a game between Syracuse and Duke at the Dome. Just a sophomore at the time, but claimed his commitment was firm, allowing for the possibility that he could go straight to the NBA. I distinctly remember that. I distinctly remember also talking about when he decommitted. I remember because I was doing the show from home during my, I had the OG COVID back in the fall of 2020, my exile at home, the shows from the basement and how interesting those were. I remember we were doing one of those shows and Dior decommitted and everybody freaked out. And I remember at the time, everybody just kind of the understanding, like, now you're stuck between a rock and a hard place if you're the Syracuse coaches there. He's a sophomore. He commits, but he's a sophomore. It's a long time between then and when he's actually going to step on a basketball court. Other people come in. Remember, this is before the portal and NIL had really hit, right? So you're taking a big risk there, but if a top five player at the time wants to commit to you, you can't really say no to that. Although everybody seemed to be the understanding that he's never stepping foot on campus. There were some academic things. There were some concerns about commitment and things that panned out. Goes there, decommits. Goes to Oregon, decommits. Now he's at Pittsburgh. So if he ends up playing Syracuse, and he did tweet at somebody this afternoon, see you in the dome, with like a devil emoji, when somebody kind of tweet, because people, certainly, this is rare when people get on social media and tweet dumb stuff at recruits. That never happens, right? That's a rare instance that we happen to capture digitally here. Don't be that guy, by the way, that is a dope like this. But I think things will work out. Syracuse ended up with Judah Mintz, who's kind of the standout of six recruits, seven if you include transfers. Whole new crop of players coming in. Mintz, 6'4 guard, 33 in the 22 class. I mean, we can hang about rankings and talent and the type of players here. That's if they even play. Like right now, they're scheduled to face each other twice next year. Not that it's a one-on-one thing, but you know, they're both point guards, and D'Or Johnson is kind of in that what could have been category. But I mean, look, the kid can't make up his mind, right? This is the risk of taking commitments from players that are sophomores and just everything that goes into recruiting. And think about all the options that are out there today, the G League and the G League Elite and the Overtime Elite and things I'm probably forgetting that are options out there. So just don't be that guy that gets out there. I mean, Twitter's Twitter, and it's full of don't be that guy things, but don't be that guy. Oh, yeah, Syracuse couldn't even hang on to that guy. I think it's still going to end up working out for everybody. Good for him. He landed at Pitt. If he sticks it out there and has a good career there and can showcase his skills, he's determined to play college basketball despite having pro talent. But I think that's going to end up being a win for everybody and kind of an interesting story at the very least that he's now committed to his third different school in that time frame. Look, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, okay, I have a 15-year-old. She changes her mind every 10 minutes. So I get it from that standpoint, but I feel like Judah Mintz is going to end up working out better than Dior Johnson in the long run. Sometimes these things tend to work themselves out, and I feel like it will in this situation. What a time to be a New York sports fan. Now, shout out to those Ranger fans out there. I didn't really like how Gerard Gallant handled why he didn't put Kakko on the lineup over the weekend. I get coaches are vague about that, and he comes out today, and he didn't really say much, but he certainly said something he could have said over the weekend. In this day and age of social media, you don't really want to leave it out there hanging why you didn't put a player in the lineup if it's not injury-related, if it's just a coach's decision. But, look, put a time frame on it. I'll say within the next 3 years, the Rangers are winning the Cup. It could be even a shorter time period than that, but if you're giving me over under on 3 years, that's where I'd set it at. I'd probably take the under, I think, within that time frame, but that team's winning a cup. The only thing that's going to prevent them from maybe winning it in that time frame is Tampa's not done, and I think Tampa's going to lose in six to Colorado. We'll get more into this as the week goes along. I know our friend Liam McHugh is going to join us on Wednesday. Could have a couple other hockey guests we're working on as we go through the week and get closer to the start of the Cup final on Wednesday. But Ranger fans, New York sports fans, usually, how can we put this? The saltiest of the bunch, there's not one Ranger fan except that dude that punched out that Lightning fan, and what a scum that guy is, and I hope he rots in jail as long as he possibly can, punching a Lightning fan who had, I don't even know if the Lightning fan even said anything to him, but that doesn't give you the right to commit assault and knock a dude cold. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous if you saw that video over the weekend. So other than that guy, most Ranger fans are like, I didn't expect this, didn't see it coming. This team was a year or two away, but the future is very bright and things are starting to come together there. A lot of Ranger fans question when they made the big changes, front office, coaching staff, what are you doing? Everybody felt like they're on the right path. James Dolan actually pushed the right button for once, probably by accident. But even though the Rangers came up short and they just ran out of gas in that series, every Ranger fan in the world's happy right now. And every Met and Yankee fan in the world is happy right now. And those three things being in alignment is almost as rare as like Haley's Comet in recent years. But a couple of things that stand out from over the weekend, Mets and Yankees wise. Stanton and Judge. Stanton cracked a, did you guys see this? A 119.8 mile per hour missile on Saturday. So that gives him and Judge, this is from, I saw this on Axios. Great name. Him and Judge have now 13 of the 15 hardest hit home runs of the StatCast era. Now, the great StatCast era dates back all the way to 2015. But when they really started tracking this stuff, for those two to have 13 of the 15 hardest hit balls is incredible. So Judge is up to 24. The Yankees are off today, so you won't hear Yankees on deck top of the hour. Only Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle for the most in Yankees history through 60 games. That's the list. Ruth, Mantle, Costanza. No, Ruth, Mantle, Judge. That's pretty incredible there. So the Yankees are 44-16, made mincemeat of the Cubs, including an 18-4 rout this past weekend. The Yankees now have 98 home runs on the year. That's 14 more than the Braves, who are in second place at this point. The Mets, 40 wins in their 62nd game. The only time they got there in fewer games happened to be the 86 Mets. Yankees looking good. Mets looking good. Rangers feeling good. Not everybody can get on board here. Knicks fans are kind of like, eh. Islander fans wondering still why the hell they fired Barry Trotz at this point. Net fans, how many of them there really are out there, still trying to figure out what's going on with that team, and I think we kind of know why they fell short in these playoffs. But the balance of New York sports right now is starting to turn around, because it was pretty down for a while. I mean, think about some of those teams I mentioned that, you know, the Rangers were off for a couple of years there. The Yankees have, all they've done is fall short of expectations in recent years. The Mets, I mean, come on. What more do I have to say about the Mets? But to see I'm trying to think of the right way to frame this. If you would rank, and obviously the football teams, both picked in the top five of the NFL draft and maybe are on the way back, but that's how bad things have been with New York sports. Like, there's been nobody to hang your hat on that's actually going deep in postseasons, actually are true title contenders. Those three are. Rangers are winning a cup in the next couple of years. The Yankees have to be the favorite, obviously, to win the World Series and could play the Mets in that World Series. I don't want to pull out the it's only line. It's only June 13th, but tell me those two teams aren't going to be there at the end here. I guess we always have to kind of keep an eye on the Mets in that category, but the Yankees are going to be there. And that we got to get a break in here and get our blind side coming up, because it's 10 question Monday. But the best way I can frame this, and I'm going to throw open my mouth as a Red Sox fan as I say it, but the best way I think you can frame this is Yankee fans feel like Yankee fans again, in that the expectation is what it is and you feel it. Whereas, yeah, Yankee fans typically have that expectation, but you were kidding yourself if you felt like that team in recent years. On paper they were, but you knew the flaws that were in that team. You are a true World Series contender right now. It feels like you're a true World Series contender right now, and you're literally the best team in baseball. Like, everything's aligning, and you have no reason to believe otherwise. I mean, you already had the pitching. What we talked about with Judge and Stanton, and you got Carpenter who comes along, and it's just raking right now. Everything's going right for the Yankees, and I am saying everything I possibly can to enact the reverse jinx and to have this all come crashing down, but I don't feel like this team is that team. Okay? I don't feel like there's anything I can do. Despite my efforts, I'm going to sacrifice a live chicken next to bring this team down. They're good, and they're going to continue to be good, and I think Yankee fans are really feeling it for the first time in a long time. On that note, we'll break. Blind Side's next. Stay right there.